Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 420. We finished chapter 28 where Moses, by command from God, he's not speaking his own words, he's conveying what God wants Israel to do. He gives them, in essence, a road to travel and a choice to make in terms of obedience or disobedience. And he's basically warning them that if they're going to serve God, obey the commandments, obey the law that He gave them from God, then they will have all the blessings in the world. And conversely, if they decide to go their own way, they are going to end up with an awful lot of problems. And to this very day, we're paying for it. Now, when the God who spoke to Moses and gave him these commandments came in the flesh, he too addressed the same subject. And everything that basically he spoke through Moses, he magnified when he came in the flesh as a Savior, the Redeemer of Israel, of his wife, of his people. And he told them also about the good things that are coming to them. That is, if they repent, they shall enter into the kingdom, because that's how he began his ministry. You see, the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, the blessings are here in their ultimate sense. But if you do not repent, if you choose to walk in the unrighteous path, you're going to have to pay the penalty for it. And so knowing that generally, unfortunately, the carnal mind is going to prevail until he and the Father set their hand to deliver them, heal them, cleanse them, you know, put their spirit in them. Man is going to continue in his own way. Israel is going to continue in her own way. His wife is going to continue to be rebellious. And so he obviously couldn't tell them anything better than that. In other words, if they are going to continue to walk in the righteous path, obviously things will be well, but he knew that they would not, and therefore he warned all of them. And a lot of people, when they read Matthew, all the others, they think that, well, this is the God of Christians, you know, Christianity. That's another God. It's another God of the Jews. You know, the God of the Jews, the Old Testament, the God of the Old Testament, the Father. And obviously, when they read anything in the so-called New Testament, they take it from the point of view of, well, God is addressing us, He's talking to us, He's writing to us, and they totally forget the context and the background. Jesus Christ here is speaking to His own wife, His own people, you see? And He basically is telling them what is going to happen, just like He spoke earlier through all the prophets, through Moses, and after that all the prophets that He sent after Him to speak to His wife and to let her know, and through them also, at the same time, to all mankind, what is going to happen in the future. But he is emphasizing mainly his wife. And so, in chapter 24 of the book of Matthew, we're going to read this one. Basically, it goes along, in essence, in general details, not in specific necessarily, about what he just said through Moses and what we read in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. And so, he told them basically this, as we read in chapter 24, the disciples, and who are the disciples? The people of Israel, you see, the disciples of Moses, and the disciples of the God of Moses, who is now standing with them in person. And so they wanted to know certain things about the temple, and as they were looking at it, they asked him, what about this temple? What was going to be the end of it? You know, what's going to be the end of the nation? Knowing where the nation was headed, knowing where the people of God were headed, knowing where the wife of God was headed, you see. And specific, this is what they talk about. They were not necessarily talking about, well, what about the Jews in Rome and the Israelites in the Parthian Empire and the Scythian Empire and all those places there and all the Jews everywhere else. You see, the center and focus of prophecy, of the events, is Jerusalem, which is symbolic for the entirety of the nation. And so this is what we read here in chapter 24 and verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Well, what does that mean? He'd never seen it before? Well, he's been there every year, you see. But in the context of the speaking, of the teaching, of the preaching, all these 3 years about the kingdom, you see, about the end time, and about other subjects that were touched on by Moses and the prophets, you see, With that in mind, that's what they're talking about. So you have to put the entirety of the picture behind it to understand where were they coming from, what were they talking about. All of them knew very well the prophecies. And they knew the end time. And also, in their day, they actually believed that that was the end time, and therefore all that the prophet spoke was coming to pass at that point. You see? Soon after. And so that's what they're talking about in essence. And so Jesus is, in essence, clarifying certain things here and opening their eyes to understand certain things too. And obviously they still thought that all these events are coming in their day. And so as they're talking about the temple, many other things, Jesus said to them in verse 2, do you not see all these things? You see, they were showing him those things. He tells them, don't you see all these things? You know, if you don't have the context and the background, well, you know, this words really don't mean much unless you know what's really behind it. And so he says, don't you know all these things? Don't you see all these things? You know, the temple and the building in Jerusalem and the nation and the people, you see, and all the words of the prophets and Moses and everything that is coming to pass and the end time. So all that has to be in the background there. He said, assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left upon, that here, speaking about the temple in particular, upon another, that shall not be thrown down. Now that's the center of his wife, of his people, of his nation, of religion, of the people of God, of the people of Israel. You see? So always think about all that in the background. Verse 3, and as I said on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, in other words, they went the big crowds, as usual, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming, and of the end of the age? So they're talking about the scenario that will encompass everything that Moses spoke about, that all the prophets spoke about, that are coming to pass upon the people of Israel, the people of God, the wife of God. You see, that's the context of the whole thing. And when people spiritualize that, they really don't understand what they are reading. And if you don't have the context and the background, you get very little out of it. And that's the reason why people invented an awful lot of doctrines and really do not have much comprehension about all these matters. And so Jesus replies, he answered and said to them, what do you think is the first thing he's going to tell them? They're asking you, oh, okay, you know, three questions. When will these things be? Because they knew what the prophets spoke about in Moses and what he told them in person all this time. So the first question is, when this is going to happen? You know, this year, next year, in 3 years, all along laboring under the supposed fact that it was going to happen in their generation, in their day. You see? Because earlier he mentioned also something about that this generation shall not pass away until all these things, you know, are fulfilled and happen. And so obviously they're not really in the clear about this matter. And so this is the first question they want to know. When these things are going to happen? And what will be the sign of your coming? Second question. And of the end of the age. You see? This is what they're asking. With the context and the background of all the prophets from Moses, you see, and the coming of the kingdom, you see, and the destruction of the enemies of Israel, and the bringing of repentance to all of Israel, you see, the salvation of Israel, and the beginning of the reign of the Messiah, this time not as flesh and blood, but as a spirit being, King of kings and Lord of lords, and the destruction of Rome, you see, and all evildoers upon the face of the earth. So all these things are on their mind. And this is what they want to know. Well, he's not even replying to their questions. Instead, this is what he's saying. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Because that was the problem why Israel went astray again and again and again and again. The false prophets had always rose in their midst. And ironically, even when Moses went up to the mountain and the people were afraid, were scared, as they had no faith and thought, well, they have no leader now, they don't know what happened to him. And they want a security blanket, so that forced Aaron to make the golden calf. And when he made it, he said, this is your God, O Israel. So he, in essence, was doing just like all the false prophets that came later on. You see, they led them always astray, and in essence, he was deceiving them to make them believe that the golden calf, you know, in his own twisted way of thinking at the time, he thought, well, maybe at least, you know, we can get them to worship God and not other gods. But still, he was deceiving them, and God wanted to kill him for that. He was very angry, and as Moses said, you know, I prayed for him because God was very, very angry, you know, with Aaron. To, you know, he really wanted to destroy him, even though he was a high priest. So this is the, in essence, what Christ said. This is what you should worry about the most: what the false prophets would do to you, lead you astray, lead you to idolatry, lead you to lies and deceptions. Because obviously he knew there are going to be another 2,000 years. It's not going to happen right there. And what was going to happen in between all this time to his believers, to his followers, and for that matter, to all the people of Israel, mind you, we're still talking about Jesus Christ, who is coming to his own, speaking to his own, talking about events that are coming upon his own people, his own wife. He's still married to them. This is the husband speaking about the fate of the wife, and he's warning the wife. That's the thing that should be, you know, concerned about the most. You see? And so, when Moses talks about the blessings and the curses, that's the context. If you obey God, all the blessings will come upon you, including the kingdom, but if you don't, you'll have nothing but curses. And unfortunately, the way it happens, the false prophets, they get into the picture and they begin to deceive the people of God and lead them astray. So, all that has to be taken into account to understand why is he emphasizing that and do not even answer their specific direct questions. And so Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. No one. No prophet of Israel that rises up as they did in the past lead you astray. Now that's what he said about them before that. All those that came before me are thieves and robbers. They came to rob your faith and make merchandise of you and take advantage of you. And that's what they've been doing from Sinai. And that's unfortunately what Aaron himself was doing. You know, trying to hide, in other words, to save his own hide. His own skin, because he was afraid of them. Not that he really meant to lead them astray. But others came, being deceived, leaning to their own understanding. Sometimes they were among the priests or Levites, and sometimes just outsiders, you see, and leading the people astray back into idolatry, into deception, you see, into perversion of the law of Moses, of the truth of God, of the law of God. And that's what he's talking about here. If you don't understand it from this point of view, you don't get it. And so he says, many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. And in the days of the Apostle Paul, he was talking about them from the Jewish community. You know, apostles who pretend to be apostles, messengers of Christ. And we have a specific case of one in the book of Acts of some, you know, some Jews, seven sons, I believe, of a certain man that, you know, pretended to say, well, we come in the name of Jesus, and they came across a demon-possessed. And he told them, Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, but who are you? You see? And he went after them. That's what he's talking about in specific, the people that will come, false prophets from among his own people, Israel, you see, in specific. And obviously they come from other places too. And they're going to deceive his own people. So that's a major warning that he gives them, knowing that there are going to be another 2,000 years ahead. So he says, many will come in my name, saying that I am the Christ. They're going to talk about me, preach about me, will tell you an awful lot of things about me, and will deceive many. And that's what Moses warned them against. Don't ever depart from the law of God. Don't go to the right, don't go to the left. Because people will always try to come and pervert the law that God gave me to give you. You see? That's what he's telling them, and that's what Christ is in essence saying here. You've got to link the two to understand it. Because, mind you, what is it that Moses said about Jesus Christ? The prophet shall the Lord God raise like unto me. You see? And he's going to give you the same message. Not a foreign one, not a contradictory one. So if this prophet is going to be just like me, he's going to preach exactly what I preach now. Why? Because this prophet is the very one who gave me this law to begin with, to give to you. You see? When people don't realize that, then they think, well, Moses gave one religion and Jesus Christ came and gave another religion. You see? And this is the very thing that Jesus Christ here is warning his disciples, not to fall for that. And the very elect did not. But the majority who went in the broad way, they did. And to this very day, they believe lies. So they've got all those preachers that talk an awful lot about Christ among the children of Israel, you see. Of course, most of them don't even know who they are. I was a part of the deception even by the false prophets themselves. As time went by, they led them into that ignorance too. And today, when the light comes to many to know and understand and comprehend who they really are and what the religion really should be and their heritage and who their God is, the God that they think is Jesus Christ, which is a separate one, is the same God that came and spoke to them in Mount Sinai, to their forefathers, and gave them the same law. You see? This is the context and the background, and you have to put it all together, that Christ and Moses are one. When Moses spoke, Christ was speaking. You see? And so, he is the one that told Moses that he is. You see? Yeah. That he's going to be behind the person who is going to come later on, a prophet just like him. And when he came later on, basically that's what he told his people, I'm that prophet. And that's what he's saying here. I didn't tell you that I'm the Christ, and they're going to deceive you. And they're going to deceive many. In other words, in today's terminology, the majority are going to be deceived. The majority always go in the broad way. It's the minority that go in the narrow path. And that's what Christ was saying. Only few are going to find it. The majority are not. And so the majority in the religion that is called after Christ are made of deceived people and deceivers. That's what he's saying here. And so he said, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, which is going to be a consequence of that. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So in their day, a lot of those things were happening, and so he had to warn them. Don't think that this is it. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. So now he's not talking to them personally, though they thought that he did. He's looking now beyond the horizons, into the next 2,000 years, and he's describing those events all the way to the end of the age, while they think that he's speaking to them, to their generation. And so they misunderstood him totally and began preaching until the end of their life, when they realized that it was not correct, that Christ was coming in their day. And so they misinterpreted a lot of the events that they saw all around. Well, he wasn't talking to them. He began talking to them, and then he went into the future. And verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrow. This is just the beginning. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Again, he was talking for the span of 2,000 years, and that's what he's talking only about them. And that's the way oftentimes a lot of people in every given generation, they thought, well, Christ is talking about me, especially when a lot of those things were happening. Speaking about our generation, they thought. And so that's why many people thought that Christ was coming in their day. And so he says, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake, and the people of God became known as heretics. As time went by, you see, and the false church, when they took over, they began to call them the infidels, the unbelievers, and they burned them to the stake, and they killed them, and they pillaged them, and they destroyed them. And there is an awful lot of history recorded of all that, both in terms of the New Testament, the beginning of it, and then in history mainly, you see, for the past 2,000 years. And that's not the end of it yet, because it's going to continue, because the false church deceives everybody to believe that they are the true ones. Well, the true followers of Christ who obey his law and walk in the path, you see, that he gave them, and believe what he said, the law of Moses is still in force. He didn't come to do away with it. The Sabbath is in force. The clean and unclean laws are in force, and so forth, you see. And those who believe it became the very minority, and they were persecuted. And they were they were labeled by the others as heretics. And the world doesn't know it. Why? Because these false prophets who came in the name of Christ that told them many things about Christ deceived them. And so an awful lot of people in deception are doing what they are doing, and they hate the truth, and they hate the people of God. But there was always a very few of them, not many, as Christ always called them, little flock. You see? Not big one. They're not the many, they're the few. You see? And the deceived and the deceivers didn't think too much about all the statements of Christ, that his church is going to be very small, his followers, very few. You see? They're not the majority. And the majority are the false brethren. this is the fourth church, or many churches, as it became later on. And so these are the ones who are going to deliver you. And the people of Israel were being taught by the disciples as they went to the area where they were, beyond the river, beyond the Euphrates, as Peter was writing to them, and throughout the entirety of the Roman world, and also the other side, beyond the boundaries of the Roman world, and they brought them the truth. And then gradually they too began to be subjugated by the false brethren that became the majority in their areas. And gradually, you know, they subjugated them and forced them to, in essence, apostatize and follow the false church, making them believe this is the true one, while the true one became known as the heretic church. And so it is to this very day. And so it says, these are the people who are going to deliver you up to tribulation and to kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And so wherever they were, throughout Europe and other places, they were being persecuted. You see? And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another even among you. And obviously they are not true believers. And then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. The majority are going to be deceived by many prophets. And that's exactly what happened to Judah, to Israel, time and time and time again. You see? That's what Moses is warning them against. And that's what Christ, the God who spoke to them in Sinai and gave the law to Moses, is warning them all over again. His own people, Israel. Even though they lost their identity. You see? But the ones that retained their identity, they knew all these things. They know what he's talking about. And that was the thrust of the deception. You see? To destroy the people of Israel, to lead them astray. And obviously all others, those who were coming to the faith among them, who were not Israelites. And so that's what Christ is talking about. Verse 12, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures until the end shall be saved. The end of his life. You see? Because no person in that generation is still alive today, obviously. But he's talking about every single one of us on a generational basis. We must endure until the end, whenever that end is. And of course, they misunderstood this statement again. And because lawlessness, what is lawlessness? No Torah, that's what it means. You see? He's speaking to them in Hebrew. And because, transgression of the Torah will abound. That's what he's saying to them. The Torah of Moses, that he gave himself in person as a divine being to Moses, and now he came to confirm it and magnify it when he came in the flesh. And because disobedience, contempt, and hatred toward the Torah is going to abound, you see, the love of many shall wax cold, shall grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Continue to walk in the law, in essence, never giving up, no matter what people do to you. He's going to be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, you see, this Psorah, this message of the kingdom, the kingdom that was coming to Israel, the very kingdom where he is going to be the king and rule over the house of Jacob forever. See? That's all a part of the same message. That's what Moses is talking about. And Moses told them all about that. They're going to turn around finally and come back to their God and realize that they've been deceived. And he said, at that point, you are going to obey all these commandments, you know, statutes, judgments, precepts, testimonies that I give you today. You're going to return to your God, who is going to circumcise your heart and put his spirit in you. Moses talked all about it. And that's why the prophet that he talked about, just like him, he was coming and to preach, you know, he's going to preach exactly the same message. Not a different one, not another religion. That's where the many prophets deceived the many to believe, no, it's another religion, another faith, another God. You see what I mean? And that's what happened. And the blind don't see it to this very day. Those who think they are in the light and they call themselves followers of Christ, how do you follow him when you despise his law? You see? And the way to the kingdom, which is through his law. Because he is the epitome of his law. The law that he brought from the Father. And that's what Christ is talking about here. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. And the disciples became very zealous about preaching, that they went everywhere they could. And yet, their commission was to go to the house of Israel, you see. So that was the main thrust of what they've done. And even the Apostle Paul, to the end of his life, he still continued to go to the house of Israel. And when he read the book, the end of the book of Acts, that's the end of his ministry, he called all the people of Judah, you know, in Rome, to him, and he preached to them, and those who, you know, believed, continued to walk with him, and he preached to them, and all others, Gentiles, who were willing to come and listen to, they also came. He never forsook, because that was a part of his commission, he never forsook his people. That's what God told him initially through the prophet Ananias when he went to anoint him to remove the blindness from him, that his commission is to go before kings, you see, and rulers, and before the nations, and before the people of Israel. The people of Israel were always a part of the commission of the apostle, though he was specifically an apostle to the uncircumcision. But all the other apostles, they were the apostles to the circumcision. Peter was the apostle to the circumcision. So the thrust of their work was going to the people of Israel, and the, you know, the people that were not of Israel among them, you know, who believed and followed, well, they became a part of the households of Israel, the commonwealth of Israel. And this whole message was from that point of view. And then the false church, the many false prophets came and totally perverted everything and made it a Gentile message, a Gentile church, appropriating the God of Israel, the prophet who is just like Moses, to themselves and the apostles, and the message of Israel, and appropriated that to themselves after totally perverting it, you see, and then feeding that vomit to ignorant people. We didn't know anything from anything. And oftentimes we're so illiterate, you know, and didn't have a copy of the book to read and to find out whether they were being deceived or not. And that's how it happened. That's the way Satan worked it out. And yet God is always there, and the elect are always there. And God is going to expose all the false prophets. And that's what Revelation is all about, the destruction of the false church. That's a specific thrust of this book. And the deliverance of the true one. And verse 14, he says, again, this is what's going to happen, this gospel, this message of the kingdom of Israel that is coming to Israel, to Jacob, where God is going to reign in Jerusalem, you see, that is in the Zion, which is going to be right next to the city, in the temple there, and all of Israel will be brought back, and all of Israel will be saved, and he's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and the whole earth, as his kingdom is going to spread worldwide, when Israel is finally going to do their job to be the light of the nations, you see. Instead of the confusion that they are today. Themselves do not even know who they are. And that's what he's talking about here. Verse 15, therefore, then, when you see the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, again, you see, that's a local message to Israel, to Judah, to the temple, to his own people. And that happened in 70 AD, and that is going to happen in the future. As we spoke about it even in the book of Revelation, about the temple which is going to be there. And then again, you know, the leader of the false church is going to come over there pretending to be God himself, in other words, Jesus Christ, the King of Israel. You see, he's going to deceive many. But God is going to bring out a destruction on him when Christ comes. And so, again, he's speaking to his own people. When you see, you, my people, my wife, people of Israel, not you foreigners out there in China or any other place on the face of the earth, but when you, my people of Israel, will see these things, not only in 970 AD, but in the future, you're going to see it standing in the holy prophet. You know, that's what Daniel spoke about. So, all the prophets spoke about those very events, all about Israel. That's the message. He said, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea, not in Poland, you see, not any other country on the face of the earth. That's not the message to them. Those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And that happened at that time. And it's going to happen again. In its ultimate sense. This is verse 17. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Again, speaking about his own people. And pray that your flight might not be in winter or on the Sabbath. What Sabbath is he talking about? Not the pagan Sabbath. Not the day where you worship the sun. And then after that, you know, the man made it a so-called a Christian. You can't do that. That's what they've done to everything else, you know. They've taken a swine and made it a Christian. Now it's okay to eat it. You know, the Christian has everything. He's speaking about his own Sabbath, his own people, his own law, the law of Moses, because he's the man who came just like Moses, as Moses said, as he said to Moses, I will raise a man just like you. And the people of Israel are going to listen to him. In other words, finally. You know, in between only very few, but ultimately all of Israel are going to be brought back to their law, to Moses, to Israel. And that's what Christ was telling them through Malachi. Unless you return to the law of Moses, you're all dead. It's an in-house message. You see? Verse 21. For then there will be a great tribulation. And then you read in Jeremiah 7, you know, 30, as we read there earlier, in Daniel 12, verse 1, the trouble of Jacob. The greatest tribulation that is coming first upon the people of God, because they have totally departed from the law of God, from Moses, from the God of Israel, Jesus Christ, from the faith, from the true church, you see. And so God is going to bring the tribulation on them first, and then he's going to pour it on all mankind. And so this is what we read here. For then there will be a great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be, which is the very statement that you read in Daniel about his own people and also in his own nation, the very statement that you read in Jeremiah in chapter 30, speaking about the people of Jacob. It's a very statement here, because that's the same message and the same book and the same people and the same church. The true church of God, the body of believers, the body of witnesses, Adat Israel. And that's what this whole matter is all about. This whole prophecy, this whole subject, and the entirety of the so-called New Testament. It's a message to Israel and the ones that were grafted and became a part of the Commonwealth of Israel. It's not a message to a Gentile church or to the world in the same way, in the same sense. Emphasis is on Israel, just like the entirety of the Bible before that was, you know, the main thrust of it was Israel. Verse 22, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh should be saved, that is, saved alive, physically, but for the elect's sake, and those very few who are still going to be there, in spite of the deception, the false church, and in spite of the fact that most of Israel still are going to continue in their ignorance, and willingly, you know, walk in their deception, and reject the truth of God, reject their own identity and their own heritage and their own God, and reject Moses, are going to be the elect. Very few. They've always been very few. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Because the elect are going to inherit the earth. You see, they're going to reign all this earth. And many others are going to be delivered for their sake. They're going to reign over them and teach them God's path, the law of Moses, the truth, the light. For the Torah will go forth out of Zion, that's where Christ is going to reside in the temple, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, that's where the children of Israel are going to be representatives of all the tribes of Israel. It's going to be the center of education for all mankind. And so verse 23 said, then if anyone says to you, look, here is Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So just because somebody performs a sign and a wonder, you know, just like all those magicians in the days of Moses, that does not mean it's of God. But people who are deceived and ignorant, do not know anything, have no background, do not know the law of Moses, do not know the truth, you see, they're going to fall for it just like they've always done. And that includes the majority of the people of Israel, because most of them are biblically illiterate. And many of them have a lot of biblical information, it's mixed up. They don't have the clarity of the truth, but confusion, you know, measure of truth and a lot of error in it. And so therefore the false prophets are going to be able to do it, just like they've done it in the nation of Israel all the time, from the day of Mount Sinai. Verse 25, he said, see, I've told you beforehand, I warned you, you see. So pay attention to it. That's the main thing you should worry about, not, you know, when is the temple coming down. Verse 26, therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out, or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it, for as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. What is he coming? To Mount of Olives. His feet shall descend on the Mount of Olives. He's coming to his people, and the tents of Judah, we read there in Zechariah 14, shall be saved first. You see? That's what he's talking about. He's coming to his people, he's coming to his temple, just like he did the first time. And he says here, verse 28, for wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. You know, that's the way it is. So wherever he's going to be, that's where his saints are going to be, his people. Some of them are going to be resurrected, and therefore they're going to be the spiritual ones, but the people that are still going to be there, they're physical, they're his people, and he's going to pour on them the spirit of grace and supplication, as you read in Zechariah 12, and they're going to recognize him, that he's their Christ, he's their God, he's their maker, he's the God of Moses, you see, and they're going to repent. They're going to be his people, and he's going to reign over the house of Jacob, that he's going to bring from all over the earth, from the four corners of the earth. That's what he's talking about here. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, now that after the trouble of Jacob came, now he's going to punish the rest of the nations of the earth. All the prophets spoke about it. So immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then you go to Revelation and you read all the details there. Now the punishment comes of the false church. You see, and the other nations on the face of the earth, because they're all into false religions. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, you see, because they're going to be punished. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he's going to descend on the Mount of Olives. He's coming to his own people. And the people in Jerusalem are going to be watching, looking up, and they're going to see him descending. You see, until his feet stand on the Mount of Olives and their eyes are going to see him face to face. You see? And he's going to deliver them. That's the scenario he's talking about. This is a message to Israel and to the rest of the world. It's not a message to the Gentile church or the world and forget about Israel. That's what the false church has done to all mankind. That's in essence the devil, what he had done. And that's where you're in Revelation. The devil, you know, is the one that deceived the whole world. But even the people of Israel, the majority of them, do not even know it. They've been told lies all their lives for 2,000 years. Verse 31, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect, who are the elect of God, the people of Israel, and the ones grafted among them who also became a part of the commonwealth of Israel. That's what he's talking about. And so they're going to gather them. After he descends on the Mount of Olives, he's going to bring all of his saints from the grave, you see. And after that, he's going to bring all the children of Israel, the physical ones, from all over the world, back to their land. Because all of Israel is going to be saved at his coming. And also those who are in the grave in the second resurrection, you know, who were not the saints, but they will be made the saints. And so this is what he's talking about here, the great trumpet. And that's what they've been always, that's what the Feast of Trumpets is all about, you know, the Rosh Hashanah. That's where they blow the trumpet. That's what Moses told them to do it. That's what God told Moses to tell them to do it, because this is the event he's talking about. It's a message to Israel. It's not a message to the world specifically. It's a message to Israel specifically, you see, and then for the rest of mankind. Because they're going to be the children of this marriage between Christ and his own bride, his own wife Israel, that is going to remarry. And he can do it because he died. So he's free of the first one to remarry his people Israel, this time purged and cleansed and purified without spot and blemish. That's the story of Moses. That's the story of the prophets. That's the story of Jesus Christ and the disciples. That's not the story of the great whore, as God calls that false church, and the harlots that came out of her, you see. And that's where the whole world is in darkness. Verse 32, now learn this parable from the tree when its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves. You know that summer is near, so you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. And the still thought, he's talking about their generation in Israel, in Jerusalem. And that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, yes, about those places, but in the future, 2,000 years down the road, and everything that happens in between. Verse 34, assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Now, that's why also they were deceived to think that he was coming in their day. And he was not. You see? And he deliberately spoke in that manner, so every generation will think it's coming in their day and will be zealous instead of giving up. You see? And he knew exactly what he meant by that. They did not. So it's important when you read the Word of God to always remember not only what we read, not only what God said, but what did he mean by that? And he certainly did not mean what they thought he meant. And so here it is, the apostles of Christ himself were deceived all their life until the end where they recognized, no, I guess this is not what Christ was talking about. You see, that's when the prophecy of Revelation came to John and recognized, oh, no, that's going to be way down the road. You see, but until that time, they all thought, well, behold, he's standing at the door in their day. But he's talking about the final generation of Israel and all mankind. Verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, he said, by my words will by no means pass away. That's what he said about the Torah. Don't think that I came to do away with the Torah or the prophets. I'm just like Moses. I'm the God of Moses. And I'm the prophet just like Moses. I'm not going to speak about something else and do away with the Torah. You see, I'm the God of the law, the God of the Torah. And the false prophets began to deceive people to believe, no, there is a God of the Torah, he's a God of the Old Testament, that's the Father. We've got a new God, he's a God of love. Forget about the Torah. And he told them, don't think that I came to do it with the Torah or the prophets. Heaven and earth shall pass, but not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the Torah. And any of those, he said, who are going to preach falsely, they're going to be the least to be called into the kingdom of heaven, but the people who are going to teach it will be called great. That's what he's saying here, repeating it. That heaven and earth will pass, but my words. And people who do not understand what he's talking about, don't put it all together. They don't know what he's talking about here. And so they invent their own doctrine, concept, and idea of what it means. That's what he's talking about. The words of Moses. The words of the prophets. He's the one that spoke them. He's the one that inspired them. And he's the one that came in person to confirm them. He came to confirm the promises. And everything that he'd ever said before that, not do away with it and come up with something totally altogether different. How many of us are into it, into that deception? And God tells us, unless you come out of this Babylon, you're going to be partakers of her plagues. So you've got a choice, just like Moses said. You've got a choice. Choose life, not death, not plagues. That's what he's telling them in Deuteronomy 28. This is what we were reading there, the same message. Verse 36, but of that day and hour, no one knows. Everybody's trying to know it, and God says, no, you don't know. Just forget about it. You're not going to know. Try all you can, all you want. You're not going to know. Because nobody knows. Not even the angels of heaven. In essence, he's saying, not even me. You see? But my Father only. He is the only one who's going to determine the time and says, okay, now. And until that happens, forget about dates. You see? That's disobedience to God when we actually go into that and try so hard and then we deceive people. And people have been doing it for centuries, deceiving people about the date. Here it is, Christ is coming. They were deceiving people. Well, he is here and he is there. And let people ascend, and finally people gave up the faith, you know, they just couldn't stand it anymore. And people are added to this very day. Supposedly having an inside story, you know, from God himself. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man. You know, people went on usual, doing their own thing. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, you know, marrying and giving in marriage, you know, life as usual. Until the day that Noah entered the ark. That's what, you know, these guys are nuts, you know. What is he up to? What is he doing, you know? They didn't believe any word he said. They said, that's the way it's going to be today too. Not few, you see, are going to be deceived, and the majority are going to believe. But the other way around, the majority just would not believe, and they will go their own merry way, as usual. Nobody's going to pay attention to the message, to the truth, to the Word of God. Why? Because they've been deceived all their life to believe lies, and to function under that. And that's the problem. That's why Christ emphasized this message. And so he says, you know, just went as usual until Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. You see? And he's not talking about rapture. That's another false doctrine of a false church. He's talking about the reality that when the tribulation comes, on the day of the Lord comes, there's going to be a lot of destruction. God is going to preserve only the very elect. And as for the rest, they're going to be gone, destroyed. You see? That's what he's talking about. verse 41. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, be diligent. That's what this word means, be diligent. It's not, you know, this is not the concept of watch television or watch world event. It means be diligent. You see, that's what the word in Hebrew means, shkod, be diligent. For you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. So constantly work at it. Work your own salvation with fear and trembling. At this point, again, this is Mordecai Joseph, greetings to all of God's people. Until next time.